Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
He's trying to raise up a people unlike any other people. He's trying to raise up a people unlike any other people that are truly his own, not just in name and not just in name and not just in works. He's trying to raise up a people who are so connected to him as he was connected to the Father while he was here in the flesh. You know, he laid aside his glory to come and be a man of flesh. And do you know what he said? He said, in my flesh, I can do nothing. He couldn't actually do those miracles. His flesh didn't have any more power than ours does. And he did that on purpose. He limited himself to be just like you and me. But how did he do the works then? He was connected in a place of the Spirit to his Father by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit was given, to help us do that, to walk in. He said, I can only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. In other words, he was constantly connected, watching and listening and moving by the Spirit. Those are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Why? Because you will look like him, act like him, release miracles like him. First and foremost, into your own life. Don't even worry about other people yet. Pull the things of God into your own life. Begin to walk in victory by the power of the Spirit. By the power of the Spirit. By connecting to him, he gives you the answer that doesn't, you know, when you don't know how to fix a problem, you don't know what to do in a relationship, you don't know what will make the business work, you don't know how to do A, B, or C, doesn't matter what it is, how small or how large, doesn't matter. When you connect to him and you learn how to do it, he wants to train you to become an expert. He wants to train every one of us. This isn't for special people. This is for everyone in the body, every single member of the body of Christ. If he had his way, we would operate in this manner. We would operate the same way he did in the earth. And so what did he say about that? He who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works shall he do. He was looking for a people that would mold their life in his image. He was looking for a people who would follow his lead when it doesn't make sense to anyone else. Jesus, why are you going up on the mountain alone? Well, I'm connecting. I'm plugging in my charger. I'm connecting with my Father early in the morning, late at night. When it seems weird, I'm connecting with the Father. And you get to a point, you're going to get to a point, if you will put this first, he will put, listen to me, if you put this first, he will put you first. Listen, he wasn't just talking about money when he said, whatsoever a man sows, so will he also reap. And the measure you use, it gets measured back to you. If you give him all that you are and working, and listen, we even need his help to do this, right? If you've been walking in the flesh all your life and you don't know how to go in the Spirit, you can't do it by yourself. You have to say, Holy Ghost, I don't even know how to do this. Will you help me? Will you help me to walk in the Spirit? Will you help me to learn how to enter your will? Will you help me learn how to worship? Will you help me to learn how to move in this way so that you can manifest yourself in the earth? And at first, it'll start small, and that's okay. But I'm going to tell you something. I remember the day I set my course. I set my course. And I said, I'd heard these words. I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. And those words were spoken by somebody that walked in so much spiritual power and so much of the presence of God. So much. I knew they were telling the truth. And so I also knew that I didn't know anyone that was doing it except for this person. I didn't know anyone else that was moving at that in that realm. And I knew, I said, I will leave everything. I don't care about any of those dreams I used to have. I don't care about any of them, but I want that. And I said, I don't have the first idea. I don't know how to walk that way. I don't even know what it means, God. But if you'll teach me, I'll spend the rest of my life learning the walk of the Spirit. I'll spend the rest of my life learning from you, Lord. That was, I don't know exactly, but I know it was at least 40 years ago. And you know that my goal today is still the same, because I've found there's a high road to success in every area. And it's called the walk of the Spirit. It's called attaching yourself to Him, that His power, His goods, His love, His compassion, His light, His life, all of it can flow. It was designed, listen to me, when you got born again, you might not understand this because your flesh wasn't designed this way, but your spirit, your new spirit, you weren't just forgiven of your sins, you were recreated in His image. Where is that? It's in your spirit, man. Your spirit lives inside your body. Your body still has a human brain, and it still has a soul and emotions. There's your mind, will, and emotions. But in your spirit, man, which is pure, it's holy, it's in the image of Jesus. Guess what's there? The mind of Christ, but more than that. So revelation, wisdom, knowledge. The biggest thing, though, is that that spirit is what connects to heaven. That's what connects to the throne. That's what connects to the Father. That's what connects to the holy place. The holy place. In that place we are cleansed. In that place we are delivered. In that place we preach. In that place we write, or we worship, or we pray. It's in that place. And so at first it'll be very halting. If you've never done it, you'll just a second here and a moment there. Well, then you go back to Him and say, how come I can't do it all the time? Teach me how to do it more. Teach me how, Lord. Teach me. And He'll give you a little more tidbit, you know, because we have to learn. Just like a baby doesn't just get up and go to the Olympics and run a triathlon. No, they have to learn how to, you know, they're wobbly. They can't even hold their bottle. At first, they can't even hold their head up. They have to learn every bit of that. When you're born again, you're born like a baby in the Spirit, and most people have never developed the baby. They've never learned how to get hold their head up and look around. You ever see a baby the first time it focuses? Like at first they can't really focus, but you ever see a baby look at you and focus his eyes? Some of you are parents, and you remember the moment that your baby first looked at you and went, like there was a recognition that they saw you. That's a big deal. Listen, God's waiting for a lot of His kids to do that. He's not condemning us. He's inviting us. He's explaining us why you were born. Why are you here? You are the go-between between heaven and earth. You are designed to bring heaven's goods into the earth, first for your own life, your own family, your own house, your own finances, your own health. That's great. But when you get better at it, then it begins to grow. You get better at it and better at it and better at it, and you begin to just go there with, you know, you'll get to where you go there and you don't even know you went there. You know, you open your mouth and He talks and you go, wait a minute, did I say that or did you say that? Because there comes a place of such connection. And that, by the way, I believe it's not a place you arrive at. I believe He's told me, I believe this is my opinion, but He's infinite. And I don't think any of us have found, see, one of the biggest and most evil works as the enemy is to tell you, well, you have it. You've arrived. And you know why? Because that'll make you stop. You won't go any further. You won't seek any harder because, you know, I've got it. Hallelujah. That's a lie. Nobody has it. We're all just children learning, all of us, even people who are really advanced in the Spirit, believe me, there's more. And it's always so shocking because you get to a certain level and you go, wow, this is so, oh my gosh, this is so great. And then pretty soon He says, okay, well, how about this? And He only does it when you steward well the stuff you have. So you don't get cocky and you don't get prideful and you don't act like you have it and you don't be a know-it-all. When you know that you're a child, still a child, learning from the Master, and you keep that heart, and you never, ever take the credit for something He does. You never act like it was anything you did right. You didn't do anything right. I promise you right now in here, I never did anything right. Except seek him and let his grace, his ability come. And see, if we will not touch the glory, if we won't take it in pride, then he looks at that and he goes, you know, I believe that person could handle a little more. I believe that person could operate in a little more. And then he'll watch you for a while. Oh, look, they're still giving me the credit. They're still walking in humility. They're loving more than they did last year. They're loving people more than they did last year. You know, Jesus said, remember the man that came to him and said, what is the greatest law? And they talked about, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And the second is like to it, or just like it, or we might say equal to it. Equal to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For years I loved God, but I had no clue how to love a neighbor. Zero, zip. Wasn't even on the docket, you know, wasn't even on the clipboard. I just didn't think that way. But God convicted me and I began to pray, would you help me? Would you help me love the body? Would you help me love people who are mean to me? Would you help me love the people that have been so unkind? Would you help me and help me even know what that means? Because our idea of love is not his. It's not how he does it. So he watches, do you love people more than you did last year? Do you have a greater level of humility than you did last year? If so, let me promote you. Let me fill you with a little more. See, he's so large, so infinite, so majestic, so forever, so huge. He gives us a little drop and we just think it's the living end, but it's just the tiniest little bit. Jesus is the only one who has walked in the fullness yet, but he wants us to. He says that we would grow up in all things into him, even the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But I don't believe we've seen anybody yet. But that's our goal. So how would he use you if you learn to connect to him? I want to tell you about an encounter I had very recently. I was taken before the throne, and I was on my knees before the Father, and I was in travail. And if you're an intercessor, you know what I mean. But if you're not, travail is something Paul talked about. It's almost like a labor, like a woman in birth. It's a travailing of your body, often a deep weeping for something to be broken forth from heaven into earth. We don't always even know what that is when we travail. But we're birthing something from heaven into earth. And I was in this really deep travail and weeping before God. Now, I don't understand this. You know, if I believe it's true, if we can't see him or we would die, right? But we can see visions of him that he teaches us with. So this was a vision of him. And it was the Father, and my hands were on what I would be like his knees, but you couldn't see a form or a figure. All I saw in this vision was the most amazing light that shattered out from the throne in every direction. And it was, I knew if I saw this, if my natural flesh saw this, you know, it would be so great that it would kill me. And yet he allowed me to see it in the spirit. The light, though, you know, my eyes are almost always shut when I'm in the spirit. I can't help it. Well, I could help it, but I don't really want to. Because it just keeps me there and not here, right? I don't want to look here. Love you. Love how you look. But I don't want to look here, you know. Somebody's picking their nose or whatever. I don't want to go there. I just want to see him. So, but on this occasion, my eyes were wide open. And this light went into my eyes. And it kept filling my eyes, filling my eyes. But then the light began to go into my mouth. Now listen, when we bring something from heaven to earth, it's not just for me, it's for the whole body. Amen. Hear me. God wants to fill your eyes with the light of God that it would manifest through you in whatever way you are called to do. It might be prophetically through your mouth, might be for you to write, it might be for you to sing or teach or a million and one things, but his glory does everything well. That flow does everything perfectly through a human. How can that happen? Only when their spirit man is, when they allow their spirit man to be in charge. And what does that mean? It means putting your flesh down. Shut up, flesh. Shut up, mind. I don't want your opinion right now. You control freak. Stop telling me how it should be. Do you ever have God tell you to do something and then you argue with him why you know better? Yeah, tell your mind to be quiet. We love your mind. It's a gift from God. It was made to study with. It was made to read the word with. It was made to talk to people and to comprehend things. But your mind is not your spirit. And it is not how you hear him, by the way. And God wants to take his people who he's created as the perfect vessel. You understand? Even if you've blown it 1,000 times, you say, well, does he really mean me? Yeah, he does, if you're born again, and only if you're born again. Because when you were born again, that he didn't just forgive you, he recreated the real you as it would have been before the fall. As it would have been. See, what was he doing? He was redeeming us from the fall. All this junk, this nature of sin to think critically of people or to judge people or to be crabby or say wrong things. That's the flesh. It came from Adam. It came from sin because Adam sold out. Adam and Eve gave the earth over to the devil. That's when the devil became prince of this world because he wasn't the prince before that. Adam was. Jesus came to redeem the whole thing and give it back to his children as though the fall had never happened. But how is that possible when we're in a fallen human body? How's that possible? The only way he could do it, and he tricked the devil and he kept it hidden. It's the mystery from the foundation of the earth. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is your spirit man connecting to the Father, but it only the glory. Why does it say hope? Why does it say hope? Why doesn't it just say, you know, Jesus Christ in you, glory? No, because it's only glory when you learn how to submit your spirit man to connect to his, when you sit at his feet enough. And you aren't just a head case figuring it all out and calculating with the word of God. And, you know, I love the word of God. Don't get me wrong. I love it, love it, love it. And I love study. But I'm going to tell you something. That alone will not be enough because you have to learn how to engage the funnel from heaven. Listen, this your spirit man was designed to be a gateway from heaven and earth. And a lot of times people go to some little prophetic class and they'll learn how to get a word from God, and they give a word, and it's such a, and this is how you learn. I'm not condemning this. This is how you learn, right? That's really good. You give a little prophecy to somebody and you say, man, this doesn't make any sense to me. But I saw this picture, and they go, oh, I can't believe you saw that. Here's what it means, right? That ever happened to you? And you're like, I heard from God. What God? Now, that's not the big result we're shooting for. That is training where God is saying, okay, now you see how that felt? You see how you heard that? Okay, take the next step. That's only the very, very, that's like kindergarten. That's like finger painting. Okay, and it's all good. I'm not condemning it. We all have to go through it. We all start at zero. We all start by holding the milk bottle. I can't hold it. It falls over. You know, I can't sit up. I fall over. I can't walk. I fall down on my butt. That's how little babies do. That's how we learn. There's nothing wrong with it. God is overjoyed when we even try. He's overjoyed, right? It takes a long time. Is it worth doing? Yes. Because the ultimate goal is to use the you that's on the inside. By the way, that's your real identity. The real you is that born-again spirit that he recreated, which has the perfect you as you were created to be, not as you were born into the earth in flesh. Some people were born into the earth into a fleshy family. Things were tough. There might have been abuse. There might have been verbal abuse. There might have been lies told to you, bullies. There could be all kinds of stuff that happens. But I tell you, that is Satan's plan for you, right? God's plan for you is, oh, wait, here's who you were before time began. Before the foundation of the world, he said. I knew you. I knew you. Come on. I knew you then. And I didn't know you in some fallen state, some abused state. I didn't know you in that state. No, I knew the holy you, the worshiping you, the perfectly connected to me you. And by the way, when you got born again, here it is. Whew, in your body. and putting that you in your body. The moment you got born again, if you said that prayer and you meant it, you came from heaven to live in you. You hear me? And that you wasn't just designed to make you feel good in a worship service. That's great. But even that is him training you. Okay, here's what that feels like. Here's how that works. Because I want to raise you up to be my voice in the earth in whatever way I want to speak through you. And we're all different, thank God. So no two of us will manifest the same way. How cool is that? Here's what I'm amazed by. You're completely you, and you're in the image of him. You look like him, but you still have you. You have your fingerprints and his somehow merged. He doesn't make you like him, and you're no longer you. You know, he doesn't just make a bunch of clones. He takes you, and he loves you for you. And you were made with certain abilities that the rest of us don't have. Come on, you were made with things that are just part of your structure. They're just part of who you are. It's easy for you to flow in that because that's who you are. Well, as you tend to the throne, as you tend to him, that connection grows stronger and easier. That power of God grows stronger. It begins to flow through you. Did you know that you have, now think about this, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, right? So dead raising power, think about this. Remember Lazarus? He was dead 4 days. By this time, he stinketh. You know, that's a nice way of saying that it was corruption, maggots. I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about it was rough. Yeah. And yet the power of God in Jesus was able to literally make him new. Make his body new, his cells new, his organs new. No stink, no junk. That power is living in you. The kingdom of heaven is in you. So doesn't it make sense that it's in your spirit, man, and it's wanting to get out? And as we tend to it, listen to me, your spirit, man, can heal your body. Did you know that? Did you know that the spirit in you contains the healing power of Jesus Christ? You don't even have to go into heaven to get that. You already got that. He put it in you. So you can learn how to push a healing from your spirit to your body or to somebody else's. Did you know that? Yeah. You have the abilities of God. We just haven't figured it out. We haven't learned how to do it. There is some learning involved, but I'm telling you, we've been taught all kinds of stuff, and a lot of it's really good stuff. You know, in churches, we've been taught very good things. But if they're not in the framework of relationship, they don't work all that well, do they? Or they work, but it takes 4 years of heave-ho, you know. Right? I'm not saying it's wrong. I use all that stuff. I use all those programs. I'm faith, confession, I do all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. It works best when you're connected to him than you say at once. We went to visit someone recently. And these are faith people, man. These people are in faith. I go to a faith church. They're in faith. They've had hands laid on them. And this man, I would guess him to be about 80. Actually, I believe he is 80. And he had horrific pain in his knees, so bad that he just couldn't, like, walk from the car to the church anymore. He just couldn't. It was so painful for him. And we came in. We just connected to the Spirit. This isn't us being great. It's not. It's not us moving in some tremendous gift. No. We just came in and we did what we know. We just connected to the Lord. God gave us words to say. He was instantly healed. Not just healed, but I believe his knees were recreated. He could do everything now with no pain. God did that. It took just a few seconds. Just what was the difference? People were in faith. Faith does work. Absolutely, yes. But why were we able to do that? Was it a gift? No. In my case, no. It was that I just turned inward, right? Yeah. I turned to the Holy Spirit and said, what are you doing here? And he gave me the scriptures. I spoke 2 scriptures, but I spoke them in 100% faith, which when you're with him, that's easy to do. When you're doing it in the flesh, not always so easy to do. So I'm just trying to give you an example of how this works and how God wants to use you. And the biggest thing he wants to do is clean up your life, help you resolve the issues of your life that trouble you. He has solutions for every one of them. Every single one. He has solutions for them. Isn't that cool? That God loves you so very much. And it pleases him. It's strange to me, but it pleases him when we grow up in the Spirit of God, when we grow up in spiritual things. It pleases him. It pleases him when we're able to do all that he could do, only more. That's his nature. Greater works than, you know, these, the works that I do, you do also. And greater works, that he would let somebody do greater works than he did. See, the human way would be, I don't want anybody to do greater works than me. Yeah. Right? Because I want to be the big deal of the day. I'm going to try to keep you from doing too much. I'll teach you this much, but not that much. I'll teach you this bit, but not that bit, because, you know, I don't want you to look better than I look. That's the fallen nature of Adam, isn't it?
Right.
Don't we need to get rid of that?
Yeah.
That's a pile of trash. No, we need to be like him. He says, I want you to be used more than me. I want you to go out and raise the dead and do more things than I ever did. You see? Because that's the heart of Jesus Christ. That's the love of the church. Is to take a step back, to be the lowest one is the greatest one in heaven. Come on. Talking about the nature. Yeah, it's the nature of God. So we have to grow up. And here's the thing. God's smart, so smart. He won't let us go beyond our, you know, a lot of times he won't give you that next promotion until you deal with your stuff. Okay? Sometimes he wants to promote every one of his kids, every one of them, but he won't. Or it delays because we have an issue of either pride or I'm first or it's my deal. Do you ever see somebody who has their kingdom? It's their kingdom to build. And they'll kind of go to a certain place and hit a ceiling. And they'll do all their, you know, they'll do all kinds of works. And, you know, I'm trying to be nice. They'll manipulate people. They'll try to do things to keep everything growing in their kingdom. But it's an ingrown toenail, I'm telling you. It's icky. Can I say that? It's icky. But what would it be if we stepped out from that and said, you know, it's okay if I'm the least. Raise up your body and raise us up to release heaven and earth. That's where that heart, that's the heart that I believe releases revival. Because it's not about me, me, me. It's about you, 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 Lord. What do you want? How do you want it? You know, what way do you want it? What can I do to change this? We have to become pliable. When we're with God, one of the best ways to hear from God is to make up your mind, I don't have an opinion on this. He knows more. He knows far more than me. I don't have an opinion. I want his. Because if you go to God and you've got your mind made up and you've got an opinion, you're just looking for him to rubber stamp your opinion, Satan can come in with deception and God will let him. Because why? It's a small form of an idol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making yourself an idol is one of the most, it'll wreck your life. If you have yourself, your thoughts, your wisdom, hallelujah, as you know, the way I think, and God showed me this last year, and so that's always going to be true. No, he'll change it on you. When your circumstances change, he'll change the solution. And if you're stuck in what you know or what so-and-so taught, you won't hear him well. But he has something for you that's hot off the press, fresh from the throne, that will change your circumstance right now. So he's looking for a people. So the interesting thing about that light of God, you know, I did a little bit of study. I want to do a lot more study on it because that's a very recent encounter. But as I did a Bible study and I started to look at how many scriptures there are about the light of God, it says God is light. And people, a lot of the heavy duties out there say, well, that's a metaphor. Well, I'll tell you what, it may be a metaphor, but it's also the truth. He is light, and that is a physical radiance in heaven. And we know this because in Revelation it says, I won't need the sun, he's the light. He'll light up the whole place because he's so radiant with his glory. His glory is light. His presence is light. He is light. In John, it talks about that Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. How about when he stood up in Genesis 1 and said, let there be light? He was saying, let that thing, which is his nature, he is love, yes, he is love, but he is light. What if we were to allow his light, you know, that they're saying now that the future of real healing, I'm talking about people who don't know God, medical people who don't know God, they're saying that light is going to be one of the best sources of healing when they figure it out. They haven't figured it out yet, but they're working on it. Well, I think we could have figured that out from the Word, couldn't we? His light, if it comes through you or me or somebody who's born again and it's diffracted into a person, are they not then healed? Yeah, it's His light. There's a ton of scriptures about it, but what I'm saying is God is trying to use us as a prism. You remember a prism?
Yeah.
Why do you think the enemy stole crystals? They're not his. They're not his. It's, you know how he counterfeits everything? What if you're the prism? Do you ever have a prism in your window when you're a little kid? You know, that was a thing for a while, if you're older like me. They would hang it in the window and there would just be these beautiful rays of light all over the room. It was diffracting the light. What if that's you? And what if crystals are the counterfeit? Come on. Because people use crystals for demonic healing. Yes, they do. Oh, yes, I do. I was out west about a year or two ago, and I was in this real pretty garden, and this woman came, and she was new ager, but I had just come from a conference where there was a lot of healing, okay? We were talking about spiritual things. She had just come from one on the other side of town. Like, you know what I mean? She was like a new ager. And she came and sat down by me. And we talked in a friendly way for about 45 minutes. You talk about a fascinating conversation. And God was wanting me to talk to her about Jesus. And I realized after talking to her for a while that she had known Jesus as a little bitty girl. But she'd had a bad time in a church. The pastor wasn't nice and she got a bad taste in her mouth and went down this other road because we're made to seek the Lord. But she was seeking for him in all the wrong places. Isn't that fascinating? So she was talking about they had all this junk they do. And, you know, I was kind to her. And I do love her. I do care for her soul. But that's a counterfeit. You know, there's millions of people stuck in a counterfeit. But when they see the real through you, when they see the real, they'll know the difference. They can tell. Lori, you remember saying this? You might want to share this. She knew a lot of counterfeits, didn't you? She was hungry and thirsty, but when she saw Jesus, she was like, this is it. This is the real thing. This is the truth. Do you want to share anything? So, Father, right now, I lift these people before you. These are your holy saints, your holy children. You've called them set apart unto you. You've called them unto yourself. And you love them. You love them. I ask you now, even right now, to bring them before the throne and let them begin a lifestyle. Let them, if they haven't already, and I know some have, but if they haven't already, let them set them their course to find Jesus, Yeshua, by the walk of the Spirit, to find him in the holy place, and to serve him there, and to manifest however that manifests in the earth, in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.